listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. Time to do a little Worldview Watch, applying what we believe to what you see out in this dark age around us. And speaking of the abyss and water and the chaos of the present age, going to deal with a little bit of flood talk this morning with Pastor Warren Worth of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri. Not the flooding that's taking place down here in the Missouri area right now, although historically that does have a little bit of a connection, but that greater flood that destroyed the world and the fact that God promised he would not do that again, the evidence that it has left, and then the real hope of the ark that'll take us off of this age of death. It's not a spaceship, as Stephen Hawking would have us believe these days. Pastor Worth, welcome to the show.
Glad to be with you once again.
Absolutely. So you mentioned there's an event, Evidence for the Biblical Flood, Monday, May 8th in the area that people can get to?
Okay, if you live in the St. Louis area, Missouri Association for Creation will have their monthly event Monday, May 8th, 2017. The location is Gateway Christian Church, 1951 De Pere Road. The main event is at 6 p.m. Zach Klein is going to be talking about Evidence for the Biblical Flood, Road Trip Edition. Come on a road trip through the American West and throughout the world, exploring the abundant evidence left behind by the biblical flood. The current flooding in St. Louis is destructive, but is a trickle compared to the flood documented in Genesis. Then at 7 p.m. that same evening, they're showing a DVD, The Great Missoula Flood, filmed in the Pacific Northwest. This video explores how the largest regional flood at the end of the Ice Age gives us a small-scale example of the impact of the Genesis flood. So lots of talk about floods. So Missouri Association for Creation, monthly event, Monday, May 8th, Gateway Christian Church, 1951 De Pere Road. Again, 6 p.m., Evidence for the Biblical Flood, Road Trip Edition, and 7 p.m., a DVD of The Great Missoula Flood. And if you don't live in the Missouri area, the St. Louis, Missouri area, and you're interested in these matters, you can contact the Missouri Association for Creation and find out how you can get a hold of that DVD or that speaker, Zach Klein. And from that, we're going to move on. You mentioned Stephen Hawking. That was the other thing I wanted to transition into as we talk about the flood of Noah's day and the evidence in the Bible and also in the world around us for the truthfulness of that great flood of Noah's day and a worldwide cataclysm, worldwide disaster. Well, today the prophet of worldwide disaster is an atheist, physicist Stephen Hawking. You know, while he would reject what the Bible teaches, yet he's got his own ideas about judgment and salvation. So if you look online, you've probably seen in the last few days that he's moved up his timetable. He had used to say we have about 1,000 years left on planet Earth, and then we better find another place to live because Earth will become uninhabitable. But now he's moved up the time. He says we only have about 100 years to find another planet to live on. And so Stephen Hawking, Expedition New Earth, is a new documentary being put out by the BBC. And they're basically putting forth Hawking's idea that planet Earth is doomed between nuclear war and climate change and the possibility of genetically engineered viruses and things like this. The future of humanity depends upon us finding another planet and moving to it. That reminds me of a movie I saw when I was a kid. Back in 1951, they came out with a movie called When Worlds Collide. And I remember that movie, watching it as a kid, and thinking how it was a lot like the biblical account of Noah and the Ark, because scientists in the movie had figured out there was a star and a planet that were going to crash into the Earth, and the planet was doomed. So they began building a large spaceship in which they could take human beings and samples of all the animals on Earth and move to another planet and repopulate on another planet and start all over again. Basically, it was an updated science fiction version of the true account of Noah and the Ark. Well, basically, that's what Hawking is urging here, that we have sort of a Noah's Ark thing where we're going to move to another planet, and the sooner the better. And the thing is, the people who made the documentary with the BBC say it isn't as fantastical as it sounds. Indeed, there are lots of people in the scientific community that believe that we are going to move to another planet, start colonizing other planets very soon. In fact, when they talk about other planets, I've even heard them talking about Earth's moon, which I don't think is a planet, and it doesn't seem like real promising. And also they talk about Mars. Mars is the closest planet that people might want to inhabit, although it also is not very welcoming, you know, being cold and dry and full of radiation. And but there are people who are all, even now, taking very seriously that we're going to have to colonize Mars, and so they're doing the research and beginning the planning of how we're going to do that, what it would take to put people on Mars and live there. And I've read several articles just in the last couple of weeks about living off the land in Mars. It's like, how do you live off the land in Mars when there's no life there, no plants, no food, no air to breathe, no water to drink? Well, they're trying to figure out how to conquer those problems. But again, what it comes down to for me, and I know we don't have a lot of time to talk about this, is basically when people abandon the true Word of God, the Bible, and the true gospel, the story of our salvation in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross and rose again so that we could have the free gift of everlasting life with God in paradise, which God himself restores and refreshes, then you're left to trying to figure out how you can come up with some kind of salvation for yourself. And even people who don't believe in an afterlife still think they have to save humanity by working out a plan to overcome some disaster that's coming. And instead of talking about biblical ideas of sin and God's judgment against sin, they talk about man-made problems like what they believe global warming is a man-made problem, which is going to destroy us. And so that's its own preaching that they have to continually pound on that subject, and then to say, well, to save ourselves, we either have to take extreme measures on planet Earth to try to reverse climate change and see if we can fix the problems on Earth that way. But even then, we're certain that we're doomed because of other things that people are doing wrong. So we've got to work out our own salvation. Again, what comes to the salvation of mankind? Reason and science. So you've got a new religion, this secular humanistic religion, scientism, where instead of talking in biblical categories of sin, they find their humanistic categories of what they think is right and wrong and the things that humans are doing to destroy themselves. And then humans have to fix their own problems, and that would involve, in this case, that we would have to build spaceships and colonize another planet and start all over again, not realizing that planet Earth is particularly suited to life, and nowhere else in the universe have we found any place particularly suited to life. And
That's one of those things that, like, confuses me about Hawking, because the guy is obviously not a dunce. I mean, he's not an idiot. And yet, he's got to know that you can't just go find a Class M planet, to use Star Trek language, in any solar system. There's nothing nearby us. I mean, is the goal to put us all asleep and shoot us into space and hope randomly we just land on the right planet? And then, if you're really an evolutionist, like, I get how the instinct for survival is supposed to, like, drive us to overcome these things, but wouldn't the world be better off without a leeching, awful species like ours? And wouldn't it just make for a stronger species to rise up after us? I just don't fathom how they're putting it together.
Survival of the fittest. So if the cockroaches are the only ones that survive, then they're the fittest. And
right.
That's just evolution doing its thing, right? And of course, then there are other people with their own scientific or scientism religion that believe that humans will evolve into basically being what would you call them, Borgs, where you're part human and part machine, that kind of thing.
I saw that movie. I don't want to go there.
Anyway, so there are all different kinds of ideas, but it's amazing that people will fall for this. And even though it is science fiction, they want to say that science fiction is, you know, tomorrow's science fact. If we use our reason, we're going to do it. So just like, you know, everybody can point to cell phones and say, see, that's just like out of Star Trek, you know? Well, yeah, you know, we aren't going to be Star Trek, and we're not going to, you know, travel at warp speed all around the universe.
Tech is one thing, but a habitable planet is another thing altogether. And we just really are. I mean, we should take care of the one we got. I'm not really against that idea. I'm against the worship of environmentalism,
right?
But I'm not against taking care of the planet, because it's such a rare thing. I mean, finding a planet that has the resources this one has, it just, you're not going to have it happen anytime soon. And again, how does Hawking not know that? He's got to know that.
And plus, human beings going somewhere else are going to take their problems with them. And the ultimate problem is our sinful condition, you see? And that's what they never address. The fact that we are created by God, but fallen away from our Creator with our rebellion and our sin, which has led to suffering and death all over this planet. And if we move to another planet, we're taking sin and suffering and death with us. You know, it's not like paradise restored in some other place. And thank God for the truth of the gospel, you know, blowing away all this silly false speculation and wishful thinking based upon false hopes of the idea that human reason is the salvation of mankind, to recognize that in Jesus Christ, we have the true wisdom of God. In Jesus Christ, we have true salvation. It addresses the real needs that we have, both the spiritual need of our sin, our separation from God, and then the consequences of that we see all around us in the created realm, suffering and death. That's a result of mankind's sin. It's a result of mankind's rebellion. All creation groans and waits for the sons of God to be revealed when Christ comes again and raises us from the dead and restores creation. And as you were saying earlier, the demons being cast into the lake of fire, sin and death being gone, where we will live in righteousness and holiness with God. No more sin, no more sickness, no more pain, no more of the problems that our sin has caused in this world as we live with the Lord in the new heavens and the new earth, the home of righteousness. And the flood of Noah's day is certainly a warning of that. In 2 Peter, we're told, you know, that people deliberately forget how the world was destroyed by the cataclysm of water in the great flood of Noah's day. And they forget the message there that we are called to repentance, that God does not want anyone to perish. He wants all people to come to repentance. And that's why the end of the world hasn't come yet. So when people scoff and say, where is this coming? They think the world's going to go on as always, and they deliberately forget these things, that God is patient with us, that he wants all people to come to repentance, all people to come to faith in Jesus Christ, and so we have that opportunity to do so. But the day of the Lord is coming, and the world that was once destroyed by water will be destroyed by fire, and the new heavens and the new earth will be there, with the earth then restored and refreshed and refined, and the home of righteousness, where all those who believe in Jesus Christ, who have received the forgiveness of sins through the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us, we will be with our Lord forever. And that is not fiction. That is the true gospel. That is the truth. That is reality. And the very resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead is proof of that.
My guest, Pastor Warren Wirth, he's pastor out there at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri. Pastor Wirth, thank you for being with us today, dealing with the creation issues that are always here.
My pleasure.
As he was saying so well, that world to come is what we're waiting for, is what we're looking for. We're not going to save ourselves from this dark and evil age. The chaos and the storms, they're brooding now because of us. We'll take our problems with us wherever we go, unless we go through the grave in the ark of our Lord Jesus Christ's own body and blood. That is there as a free gift for you. He's coming back. Better believe it. Might be today, might be tomorrow. In either case, I'm Pastor Jonathan Fisk. I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.